It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
Houston Independent School District has been taken over by the Texas Education Agency. Spring Branch Independent School District is the district west of town that includes the Memorial area. It is an opportunity to have a high-performing school district, and there are some, or have been over the years, who seem to be desperately trying to drag it into HISD territory. We've gotten involved in several races over the last couple of years. A woman named Lisa Volpe, a fellow named Chris Ernest, and they won. And it's as if the people who live in the villages and the Memorial area, Spring Branch, have decided, you know what? We don't have to let our school district go to hell. We can take it back. We can have good schools we can be proud of, which, by the way, underpins strong real estate values. If you can send your kid to the public schools, your real estate values go up. It's just a fact. Chris Ernest is that new school board president, and I'll say now what I said to him when he first asked me to support him. I think you're a wonderful person, a good and decent and just person, which is why I worry about you in an arena like this that's made up of people not like you. Chris?
Good morning.
Probably worth noting, a full disclosure, that I know Chris Ernest because our boys played baseball against each other and we coached against each other. And I told Ramon that story and he said, who won? And I said, I honestly don't know, but given my record that particular year, I'm betting Chris Ernest won and he probably remembers. So let's just leave it there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I won that game.
So the big story is Spring Branch ISD school board members voted 4-3 on Monday to drop multiple points of review from its book review, according to a report published Monday by ABC 13's Brianna Connor. And it says that the vote removes the first two of three layers from the district's review process, maintaining only the final checkpoint in which the board members will handle it. As I understand it, the school board said, guess what? We're not leaving it to administrators anymore to review the books to see what is sexually explicit and what is. We'll handle it ourselves. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, and honestly, I mean, it's that, and it's also to help our administration. We passed a policy in October that sort of revamped our process for challenges to library materials because of all the issues we've been made aware of, and that process included a three-level review, the first of which triggers a review of a committee of at least six people that includes a lot of our employees in the district. And within 72 hours of passing that policy, we had 25 different people challenge elementary-aged books for, you can't make this stuff up, but books like Smile. And the reason for having it removed is that kids that wear braces shouldn't be ashamed. Or a book called Waiting is Not Easy. There's a character that's an elephant that's incredibly impatient, and speaking animals generally confuse people. Diary of a Wimpy Kid. It discriminates against kids who aren't athletic and should be removed for all readers that are not at least 18 years old. So these books were filed to clog up legitimate sure. system that we attempted sure. to set up to have it reviewed. And you know, we have meetings with the administration and how are things going, and we do have some very legitimate books that are under consideration, and these are in front of those, and they trigger this process. And so that is ultimately what the board decided to do Monday was we're going to take these on ourselves. We signed up to do this. We created the policy. The policy is the board's. We are the third level of appeal and the final decision maker. So we're ready to take those decisions on ourselves and lift that burden from the administration and help them with these childish ones. I actually hope that some of these people will come in public and make these arguments,
yeah.
you know, as to why books like The Couch Potato ought to be removed, but then also we'll take on some of the more serious, sexually explicit material that we found in our libraries and take it head on.
I want to give me just a moment, and then I'm going to ask you a question. But I want our listeners to understand, because you're going to see Texas Monthly, which has weighed into this pretty heavily, and you're going to see some folks say that these are book censors. This is a sort of Ray Bradbury book burning. This is censorship. These are book banners. These are, you know, somehow the Taliban. These are awful people. So there's a woman named Denise Bell, and she was one of the speakers at the school board meeting. And she ran out of time, but she wrote out her comments. She has four children in the district. Let's just say she's invested. And she was speaking, and she was talking about a book called Looking for Alaska by John Green. And she submitted her challenge earlier that she wanted a response. And she was told by the district, this is for for children as young as 14, this book has fabulous vocabulary. The content is not meant to be erotic, as in arousing sexual desire. It's not graphic. So she pulled out some sections of the book, and I'm going to read them to you, but I can't use all the words. This is for children as young as 14. Yeah. Just as the Bradys were getting locked in jail, Laura randomly asked me, have you ever gotten a BJ? Now, technically, I can say what BJ stands for, but I'm not going to. Further down. I think I want to, she said. These are two teenagers. These are two kids talking to each other. And we kissed a little. And then with me sitting watching the Brady Bunch, watching Marsha up to her Brady antics, Laura unbuttoned my pants and pulled my boxers down a little and pulled out my penis. Wow, she said. What? I said. She looked up at me and didn't move, but her face nanometers away from my penis. It's weird. What do you mean weird? I asked. Just big, I guess. I could live with that kind of weird. And then she wrapped her head around it and put it in her mouth. And then we go down to how she puts it in her mouth. And then he refers to her laying there stock still with my penis in her mouth. And then she says, should I do something? Everything I'd learned from watching porn with Alaska suddenly exited my brain. I thought maybe she should move her head up and down, but would that choke her? So I just stayed quiet. Should I, like, bite? Don't bite, I said. I mean, I don't think. I don't know. I don't think that'll feel good. So they go back and forth. So we went to her room and asked Alaska. She laughed and laughed. Sitting on her bed, she laughed until she cried. She walked into the bathroom, returned with a tube of toothpaste, and showed us in detail. Never have I so wanted to be crest complete. I don't think any administrator at the school in good faith could say, yeah, it's great vocabulary. There's nothing erotic or intended to arouse gratification or inappropriate for a 12, 13, or 14-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean,
I commend you for actually reading it on the air, because the Chronicle and Channel 13 can, you know, shoot arrows at us all they want, but they won't read that on air.
No, and that's just it. I want it to be uncomfortable. I want people to have to squirm, and then you go, all right, now you're sitting in class. Now your kid, 13 years old, your little girl is sitting in class. And the teacher says, let's read this out loud. And they start reading about penises and oral pleasure and all these sorts of things, and this little girl is having to sit there and squirm. This is not what we send a kid to school for. We'll talk to Spring Branch Independent School District President, Board President Chris Ernest. Come here. Ernest is a father of children in the Spring Branch Independent School District who finally came to the conclusion, if we're going to fix the schools, there's nobody else to come in and do it for us. I'm new to politics, but I'm going to run for office, ask my neighbors to support me in an unpaid, unthanked position. And here we are, a 4-3 vote to decide that the books will be reviewed by the board itself, not leaving that to anyone else. Chris, how does that work? I mean, the idea, these people are not acting in good faith. The idea is they'll put a criticism in of every single book, except the books that have graphic content, like we just mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, how will it work? I mean, initially I mentioned those 25 books that have been filed that I consider to be quite frivolous. We'll take care of those first, perhaps in an afternoon or two preceding a board meeting or on a Friday at some point, and then we'll have to tackle, you know, some of the longer. I mean, some of these books are very long, you know. We'll read them and take those reviews seriously, and then, you know, render a judgment. You know, the key for those heavier material like you read, I mean, the key deciding point for us is on educational suitability. And that phrase is, you know, somewhat vague, but it's actually somewhat brilliant in that it doesn't, you know, we get criticized, oh, well, you're not a librarian, you're not an expert, this and that. But when you read something like you read on the air, and then I take a phrase like, is that educationally suitable for my 12-year-old, my 14-year-old, my 6-year-old? Absolutely not. It doesn't take anything but common sense to make those decisions. And we plan, you know, to exercise, you know, that power that we've been given in this position. We're going to take care of it.
Well, it strikes me that people want to pretend it's sort of this relativism that you can't be in the position of deciding what is and isn't appropriate. But we do this all day, every day.
Yeah.
We tell our daughter, you know, that skirt's too high. Why do you say it's too high? Because I can see your panties under it when you're walking. Well, how long does it need to be? I don't know, but that's not long enough. These are decisions that parents and a community can agree upon. Now, maybe not 100% consensus, but I think what I read would be out of bounds. And it strikes me that the most out of bounds can be removed from the classroom. Have y'all heard from teachers or other administrators with whom you say, I think we may have a fundamental disagreement as to what is appropriate here?
Generally, no. They may be out there, but I can't say that I've had teachers contact me that aren't, you know, supporting the direction that we're headed. You know, people like to always say, you know, teachers are going to flee our district and this and that because we're, you know, it's viewpoint discrimination or whatever the argument might be. But the fact is we have a district our size, we always have openings, but we have half of the openings that we typically have this time of year. So this argument that people are going to flee and they won't want to work in our district and this and that is turning out to be false. But no, I mean, look, Michael, I mean, what he read, that's just so obvious. Like that's not a difficult decision to make. People get confused. We're talking about school libraries. We're not talking about the public library, you know, that the city provides, and there's a difference. There's a big difference. What is educationally suitable? What is age appropriate? What sort of content are we as a school district and a board going to put in front of our children? What's appropriate? And
I find it interesting, how easily people can be frightened by the idea of how dare you try to stop this being shown to kids? You have no basis to do that. When the real point is, how dare you try to show it to kids? You have the moral high ground. I hope other school districts out there that are listening and will see this story will be emboldened by this. Sure, you're going to be criticized, but very few people are going to criticize you to your face. And you know you're doing the right thing. And guess what? That's really all you need to know. I'm curious, what do your kids say to you out of this? Because you have one, I guess it would be 15, 16. You know, they hear what's being said at school. What do your kids say? Do they have questions? Do they have comments?
We talk about it. It's funny. My elementary age kids are actively combing through classroom libraries to see what's in there. So they've actually participated more than my freshman. I don't know that he's actually ever been in the library at Memorial High School. But that's a different issue altogether. But some of my younger kids are on the lookout.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The good thing about your freshmen is no matter what they put in that book in the library, they're not going to get him. It said in an article I read, the district's vote follows its decision last fall to ban The Breakaways, a graphic novel about a group of eighth grade soccer players that features a transgender character. Tell me about that book.
Well, now you're going back to the sort of the genesis of this issue when it became aware. There are two books, The Breakaways and Genderqueer, that got everybody's attention. And, you know, the Breakaways, the challenge with that book is, you know, it appears to be an innocent children's book on a girl's soccer team. And it's one of these graphic novels. And by graphic, I mean, it's like a 250-page comic book, and that's all the rage these days. But the first 100 pages are, you know, simply a book about a girl's soccer team. And then the next thing you know, you flip a few pages, and then they're in bed together wondering whether or not, you know, they're homosexual and should we kiss and all this. And it's, you know, and that's in elementary schools. It's just content that's inappropriate at that level. And, you know, you get into a bigger problem. It's easy to talk about, you know, specific schools, specific libraries, you know, bad actors within a specific school. But the problem, Michael, with like that book in particular is Scholastic and these book companies and review companies are pushing this trash down on the schools. And they get these ridiculously rave reviews about what great content this is. And this is a book you have to have in your elementary school library. And it's featured at the book fairs. And that's how, you know, it innocently ends up in a kid's hands. And the next thing you know, you've got a parent calling you like, what the heck is this, you know, material that you're providing to my kid? And so we're really having to rethink the whole system. It's not just about the book challenges and what's boiling up to the board. It's also about book orders. And what
yeah, why are you stocking
subscribing to and following? What's that?
No, I'm sorry, I interrupted you, Chris. Let me ask you this.
No, you're fine.
Is the problem worse than you expected when you decided to run?
Oh, I this was not on my radar. No, look, I love our school district. We do a lot of great things. We're doing a lot of great things for kids. My kids have had an excellent experience, so I'm a big believer in Spring Branch ISD. My intent is to improve it. I think that a lot of people have had their heads in the sand when it comes to education, and I think, you know, there's a woke agenda that's aggressively being pushed, and this is just the pains of starting to take some of that ground back, and that's really what this is. And
do you feel like you're making a difference?
Yeah, I do. It takes a little bit longer than I would have anticipated. It's not quite like running a for-profit company, but I do. I do think, you know, the other thing that I've, like, this is just a praise for, you know, good teachers and good administrators are some of the hardest working people that I've met in my entire life. So over the course of the last 2 years, I think one of my takeaways is, a good administrator and a good teacher is worth their weight in gold, and those people work harder than anyone I've ever been around in my entire life. So
it's a ministry.
Totally support them. Yeah,
it's a ministry.
It is. It never stops.
Hold with me just a moment. Chris Ernest is the relatively recently elected president of the Spring Branch Independent School District. Incredible things going on in the Spring Branch Independent School District. A movement. Parent-led, mostly mommy-led, interesting, to take the schools back for the kids.
Suits, sports coats, dress shirts, slacks, shoes, and belts. Harold's in the Heights, The Michael Berry Show.
Chris Ernest is the relatively recently elected president of the Spring Branch Independent School District. By a vote of 4-3, they decided that of the three layers of reviewing books as to whether they are appropriate for their children and your children, they would knock off the first two and just handle it themselves. So logistically, Chris, what does this look like? Because you've got a day job. Everybody else has a day job in addition to having kids and all that. So will there be a stack of books and you'll go in and you'll flip through them? Or how will that work?
No, we'll read them. I mean, that's the one thing that the board still has to decide is how we're actually going to take these on. As I mentioned, we've got a number of children's books that we'll handle first and can probably do in a day. The others we'll have to sort of schedule, and I imagine that it would, you know, it'll drag out, you know, minimum through the end of the school year, probably into the summer. But yeah, we'll be doing a lot of reading.
And I guess the idea when you want to change a culture is to make the point. You know, these words are prohibited. These are things we don't get to. Let's have some pretty basic standards. We're all adults here. If you're acting in good faith, I don't think that if we're all acting in good faith, there would be much of a question. And whoever complained about Diary of a Wimpy Kid as a way to clog up this process, if they signed their name, and I do think a parent should have to sign their name.
They did.
I think that's your sign that somebody is playing cute with this, and that should be treated accordingly. And I got to say, it does strike me that of the graphic content, it's almost never heterosexual relationships or behavior. It seems to be that it's important that these be sexual themes and that they either be transgender or homosexual in nature. Is that, from your experience, is that true or no?
Yeah, no, I definitely think that's true. I've thought about that issue a little bit, and I think part of the reason for that is if I'm going to write a book about a homosexual character and you're going to know that they're a homosexual character, I have to include that in the book, right? And so you have, you know, them exploring, you know, who they are, and they come to some conclusion, but you have to describe that if the book is going to be about, you know, if your character is going to be LGBTQ. I mean, so it's got to be included. So that's why I feel like they're more prone to having this type of material in the book. By definition, you have to talk about it.
And these are books that are assigned for class or books that are on the shelves at the school library?
Right now, we're dealing with libraries. So the books that are challenged right now, you know, are in one or more libraries throughout the district. Our next Herculean task next school year will be to go through a similar process with instructional material, which is in the classroom. So we took on the libraries first, trying to get that cleaned up. For me, it's been a two-year process. I feel like we're now making progress. This will help, you know, our latest action will help that. And then next is taking on the instructional material in the classroom. And that will be handled under a separate policy. But we wanted to get the libraries in a comfortable position and then move on to the next and not try to take too much on. But, you know, as I said, are we making a difference? Yeah, we are. It takes a little time, unfortunately, but that's the plan, is libraries first, instructional classroom material next. Because the other thing that I learned in the last, you know, year and a half or so is that it's not just libraries. You know, your average English language arts class in middle school has a library of its own of 700 to 800 books, and there's been some questionable material identified by teachers and parents and others, you know, within those collections, and those are provided by publishers. And you know, as I said, you place an order with Scholastic for 100 books and they throw in 10 freebies, and I bet you a lot of money in those 10 freebies, there's going to be some questionable material. So they just, it's really, I mean, it is, they're pushing to include that in our instructional and library materials. I mean, we've documented where we found some of that material in books that the district did not actually order. They were just placed in the box.
It sure does seem there is a concerted, coordinated, rather sophisticated effort to get traditionally age-inappropriate materials in front of children, the younger the better, that are cringeworthy were they to be read at a board meeting or over the air. And it's not accidental. We're not talking about old Yeller or Sounder here. We're talking about books with a very pointed theme, as if there is an agenda to get this in front of kids. And it's too much for a young child to process, period. And we don't allow them to come in and put tattoos on. We don't allow them to do these sorts of things. why on earth would we allow these books, our children to be exposed to these books? We know that the mind is not ready for that. We wouldn't allow drugs in the school by the same token.
Yeah. We have movie ratings for the same reason.
Very well said. Very well said. Do you talk to the teachers a lot? Do you have a lot of access to the teachers? I'm curious how many of them say, you know, thank you for this. This is the backup we needed.
Oh yeah, no, we definitely get that. It's done more probably privately, and you know, the benefit of living in the district. I mean, you know, I've got five kids, so you know, we talked about Little League earlier, but my kids, you know, are on the same team as some teachers, you know, and that spans high school down to elementary. So, you know, you get feedback, you know, all the time, really. And I think people do support it. And I think, you know, our teacher retention and other things, you know, support what we're doing. So I'm encouraged by that. And yeah, there's been very little pushback. I think, you know, most of the administrators and the teachers appreciate what we're trying to do.
Who are the four school board members who voted in favor of this? You, Lisa Volpe, is it Perez? Is that his name?
John Perez.
Yeah.
And Lisa Alpe.
Yeah.
And Caroline Bennett.
Caroline Bennett. Yes, 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 yes. Alpe, not Volpe. I'm sorry. We had an Art Volpe who used to run our Atlanta syndication. Good. Well, thank you. Stay strong. Keep up the good work. This is a volunteer position, but your kids and our kids are worth it.
Well, I appreciate it.
Chris Ernest, the president of the Spring Branch Independent School District.
The Michael Berry Show.
Maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should have. Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have. Little things I should have said and done, I just never took the time. You were always on my mind.
Here's the transcript that has been submitted of that little hood rat who paralyzed the Vietnamese mom as he stole her purse and came back to beat her. He was out on bond already. And then he was given, what was it, a $240,000 bond? No, he was given a $200,000 bond. And Judge Kristen Guinea, a Republican who was just elected, reduced it to $100,000. Now, here's what's interesting about Judge Guinea. Apparently, the lawyer who brought it to her, Catherine Evans, I believe is her name, is a former Republican judge. So when she lost her election because the Democrats came in, she became an attorney and I guess gets some court appointments out of the deal. I don't know if this judge did it for her buddy who's a former. This judge, this Republican judge, has her eye on the next highest judicial seat, Court of Appeals. She had previously filed a treasurer's designation to run for the Court of Appeals. And the treasurer is her husband, who happens to have a different name than her. I dare say she's not going to get elected to a higher bench after cutting the bond for this little turd. Here is the transcript of what he said from prison, from jail, to his buddy after he has severely injured this woman. It's his third time he's been arrested, mind you. We're only talking about the middle one. He'd been arrested just before that and given a bond. He's arrested this time for what he did to this woman. It's all on video. And then they've got him in another case a few days later, armed robbery. We were snatching purses. I hopped out. I'll say all the syllables. I won't try to speak as if I'm him. We were snatching purses. I hopped out, snatched the purse. Basically, when I snatched the purse, the lady ran with the money. I grabbed, slammed her, and she was paralyzed. The lady probably want justice and some more expletive. They'll try to max me out 20 years, basically. That expletive. I ain't going for it. The expletive. Already ran up $230,000 off GoFundMe. Expletive. This is what he calls her. Expletive. Better run on with her life. Like, expletive. You done run up $230,000. Look, they say she ran up $230,000 and she'll be back walking in no less than a year. How dare she get money for her pain and suffering and medical bills, and she'll probably be walking in a year. That's what they say. They're not going to put me away for 20 years. And I guess if Judge Republican, Judge Kristen Guiney has her way, that's true. G-U-I-N-E-Y, but never thee mind. I will remind you at election time what her name is. Rest assured. Well, let's see what other hood rats out there are up to no good.
Well, it's lonesome in this old town, just walking in the rain, going back to Houston, Houston, Houston.
And now, the Michael Berry Show presents the Houston Crime Report.
Just before 9 a.m. yesterday, South Central Patrol units were dispatched to a shooting report in the 1500 block of Bentaub Loop. Officers learned that the fire department had already transported an adult male to Bentaub with two gunshot wounds. It is unknown what occurred. What pissed off the Sheila Jackson Lee supporter, we don't yet know. The incident originally occurred on March 25th at the 4400 block of Liberty Road. At 1 o'clock, Southwest Patrol officers dispatched to a shooting in progress call in the 14,500 block of Maine. The complainant is the owner of a food truck. You know this story. Suspect tried to rob her, and she shot his ass. Suspect was pronounced dead at the scene. Well, that's one less voter for Sheila Jackson Lee. At about 3:15 p.m., North Patrol units saw a person on the ground in the 1200 block of West Tidwell. The complainant had a gunshot wound to his leg. The suspect was GOA. This is believed to have been gang-related. The complainant is not cooperating with the officers. He seeks not future stitches. Just before 7 p.m., Northwest Patrol officers dispatched to a shooting in the 7500 block of Long Point. Upon arrival, officers found a male with a gunshot wound to his head is the correct answer.
Christ the King, help me! I took one in the face!
The initial investigation suggests that the male was inside a game room that was robbed by the suspect. He confronted the suspect. They exchanged gunfire, and the complainant was shot. He was transported to Bentaub in critical condition. Update to the story, complainant was pronounced deceased at the hospital. Yeah, well, we have to update it. Just a little after 9 p.m., officers responded to a shot spotter call in the 3400 block of Old Spanish Trail to find a male with a gunshot wound to his torso and hand.
Sweet Jesus, my hand!
The incident was a result of a drug transaction gone bad. The man was transported to Memorial Hermann, Texas Medical Center in stable condition. Just past midnight, Westside officers dispatched to a shooting call in the 14,800 block of Katy Freeway to find an adult male with a gunshot wound to his leg.
Oh, Lord Jesus, my leg!
It was discovered that the suspect had robbed the man at gunpoint and shot him in the leg before fleeing the location on foot. The victim was in stable condition and transported to Memorial Village ER at the moment. Let's see if we can't get through the rest of these. The day before it, at about 9:30 in the 12,500 block of Dunlap, a male complainant with a gunshot wound to his torso and a grazed gunshot wound to his head.
Gunshot in the torso!
complainant was visiting and shot after a disturbance just before 11 p.m. in the 12,100 block of Homestead. A complainant had a gunshot wound to his shoulder and knee.
Help me, Lord! They got my arm!
Shot during a road rage incident. And finally, just before midnight, a shooting in the 8,500 block of Broadway. A gunshot wound to the arm and leg. Complainant said that the suspect...
Help me, Lord! They got my arm!
Oh, Lord Jesus, my leg!
Complainant stated that the suspect shot him when he saw him with his ex-girlfriend.